Are you curious about the meaning of the Christian tradition of tithing? Joy Wendt explains it. Your narrator is Debbie Hansen. While I've never bought a lottery ticket, I understand why people do. Who hasn't felt the grind of meager resources and craved immediate relief? Looking back, I remember a time in my life when there was no food in the refrigerator. Scrounging in the cup holder of the car, I hoped for enough quarters to get just a gallon of gas. It was not a fun time. I wondered whether it was possible to find the financial freedom that others seemed to enjoy. Once, I daydreamed how relief might just drop from the sky as I played a promotional game that a department store was offering. The $250 shopping spree would be wonderful, I thought. But alas, the most I ever won was a $10 coupon. I began to doubt that the larger prizes even existed until I actually saw one of the winners in front of me in a checkout line. I fought feelings of jealousy as she purchased $250 worth of towels. Towels? Really? My child needs clothes, and she gets towels? I had to wonder at the hand of Providence. But at the end of the day, it really didn't matter. The lady in the store went home with brand new towels, and I still had to buy clothes for my child, who had hit a sudden growth spurt. During those times of scraping coins and being behind in rent, it seemed that the windows of heaven were truly closed against me. After many months of struggling, I finally asked God, "Is there anything you want to show me about money that I still haven't figured out?" The words in Malachi 3, verse 10, press themselves into my mind. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it." When I read these words, I pictured the old sluices that in days gone by were used in mining gold. The miners hoped that the process would yield nuggets of gold as the water ran down the sluice, separating the gold from the debris. Is it possible that God could pour out such a generous stream of gold or some kind of provision that I would have more than I could use? There are people who believe that if they claim God's promises with enough faith, they can have anything they want. Is that what this verse is saying? To find the answer, I had to dig a little deeper. With much prayer, I began to analyze Malachi 3, verse 10, as if it were a secret map to the treasure of heaven. I took it word by word. In the King James Version, the first words say, "Bring ye." This is a command. And bring is an action word that means to carry something somewhere. The next word is all, which is a very impressive word. If you ask someone to give you all of something, you are not asking for a piece of it. You're asking for the whole thing. But God isn't asking for all our money, because the next words indicate He's asking for a tithe, which is a tenth of the income that we receive. He's asking for all of that tenth, though. God calls this tenth holy, Leviticus 27, verses 30 and 32. Not even the priests were exempt from this command. They were also required by God to bring a tenth of their increase to Him, Numbers 18, verse 26. The word bring also suggests that there's a place to carry the tithe. So where is that? Looking at Malachi 3, verse 10 again, we see the answer. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So the place to bring the tithe is the storehouse. But what is that? I wondered. I decided to let the Bible explain itself. In the story of Joseph, I found that a storehouse was used as a place to store the harvest. Joseph gathered the corn into storehouses and distributed it when there was a need for it. Genesis 41, verse 56. It's interesting to note that the term is also used this way in the New Testament. In Luke 12, 24, Jesus said, "Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom, or storehouse, or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." So God is asking His people to bring their tithe to His distribution center. But where is that? After reading these things, I pondered, can we have our own distribution center and decide for ourselves where our tithe should go? Again, I was impressed to take a look at the key verse, which said that we should do this in order to unlock the windows of heaven. So far, I had learned to bring, to take or carry, all the tithe, a tenth of my income, into the storehouse, the distribution center. I also noticed the word "the" in reference to the storehouse. This word indicates that there is a specific storehouse, not many. Now I examine the rest of the verse, that there may be meat in mine house. After studying the word meat, I learned that it was synonymous with provision or money. Matthew 6, verse 25, Matthew 10, verse 10, and chapter 24, verse 45, and 25, verse 42, and Luke 3, verse 11. And then I was left with the words, mine house. What is God's house? Is it any place where God's people met together to worship Him? After all, He says that He's present wherever two people have come together in His name, Matthew 18, verse 20. Or was mine house specific, just as the storehouse was specific? In 1 Kings 5, verse 5, we read that God ordered Solomon to build an house for His name. This house, or temple, was no small undertaking, and it was located in a very specific place, a place that God Himself dedicated at its completion. People would come from everywhere to honor God there. I learned that God's house is the public place of worship, where His people meet and where others can come to learn of His ways. Thus, God's house is the church. This public place of worship includes the distribution center, and God's people are supposed to bring their tithes and offerings there. Jesus called the temple His house. My house will be a house of prayer, Luke 19, verse 46. It has always been God's purpose that the organized place of worship be the distribution center that provides for His work on earth. No human organization is perfect, and even in Bible days, the organized church sometimes messed up. But God did not change His system, even when His leaders made mistakes. In fact, Jesus commended the widow who put in her faithful offering in the temple. He could have said, "Hey, lady, don't you know these corrupt priests are planning to kill me? Don't put your money into the temple treasury. Just hand it to me because I'm God." Even by His own example, Jesus supported the system of worship and giving that God had set up. With this new understanding of what God wants to do with our money, I made the decision to stop sending my tithe wherever I wanted, or even spending it on myself, and to trust God's system. And things began to change in my life. After making our commitment to place our tithe in God's house, the organized church, God provided a business opportunity for my husband that allowed us to get out of debt. We were so blessed that we decided to give additional offerings to support other causes we believed in and to help people in need. I didn't win the $250 shopping spree, but God provided a suit for my son that was 70% off the original price. We found 3 pairs of pants at a department clearance store and 3 more almost new pairs at a thrift store. Then God provided unexpected Christmas and birthday gifts in the form of gift cards to a department store. Even though I didn't win the shopping spree, it became clear that God indeed opened the windows of heaven to provide for our necessities. After all the years since I began studying about the tithe, my family still doesn't have piles of gold lying around, and we still sometimes experience significant financial difficulties. However, I can say that God has worked many miracles to make sure that we are provided for. And His blessings aren't just financial. Sometimes the windows of heaven pour out in the form of the beauty in nature, or the unexpected encouragement in a card, or kind word from a friend, just when we need it most. God has 1,000 ways to bless us. I decided to try God, and He's been so faithful that I'm encouraged to keep trying and proving Him.